What we're trying to do is we're trying to help people understand why what has just happened in Israel has transpired.
Right.
So with that being said, what has happened is the dissemination of massive, massive propaganda that we're going to help unveil and help people to see through. This takes us to our fourth area, Palestinian propaganda. Now, what was published on October the 6th, actually October the 7th, 2023, was this publication. I've got it here on the screen. This is from the Palestinian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and in this particular piece, they are explaining what they just did a day earlier on October 6th, where they launched this vicious attack from Gaza against the nation of Israel. And when you read this, you'll see the justification for it in their own minds. But as we're going to demonstrate, this is pure propaganda. So would you mind reading that statement to us?
All right, here we go. We have repeatedly warned against the consequences of blocking the political horizon and failing to enable the Palestinian people to exercise their legitimate right to self-determination and establish long their own state. We have also warned against the consequences of daily provocations and attacks, including the continued settlers and occupation forces, terrorism, as well as the raids on Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Christian and Islamic holy sites. Security, stability, and peace in our region can be attained by ending the Israeli occupation of the land of the state of Palestine with East Jerusalem as its capital on the 1967 lines and recognizing the people's right to independence and sovereignty. Israel's disavowal of the signed agreements and failure to adhere to international legitimacy resolutions led to the destruction of the peace process. That is in addition to the absence of a solution to the Palestinian cause after 75 years of suffering and displacement, the continuation of the policy of double standards, and the silence of the international community regarding the criminal and racist practices of the Israeli occupation forces against the Palestinian people, and the continuation of the injustice and oppression to which the Palestinian people are exposed, is the reason behind this explosive situation and the absence of peace and security in the region. Peace requires justice, freedom, and independence for our Palestinian people, the return of refugees, and the full implementation of international legitimacy, resolutions.
So what they're saying is, here's why we did what we did.
So justification.
And unfortunately, a statement like this is picked up by the international press and they run with it. And so whatever propaganda is here starts getting disseminated all over the world.
Yes.
Notice,
this is nothing but propaganda.
Nothing but propaganda.
Every
now,
bit of it.
Now, right down to the date. The date is significant. Look at the date at the bottom. October 7th, 2023. What they're saying is, this is why we did what we did yesterday. October 6th, 2023. We'll go back exactly 50 years to October 6th, 1973. That was the beginning of what is called the Yom Kippur War, where Israel was invaded and yet was very successful militarily. The reason they time this out to the date of that war is it's revenge.
Exactly.
And these people... It's sort of interesting, they deal and think in these complete, you know, calendar terms. And so the date here is very significant. I mean, it was timed to the day of the beginning of what's called the Yom Kippur War.
Wow.
Now, as you look at this, in the first sentence, they say, we have repeatedly warned against the consequences of blocking the political horizon and failing to establish the Palestinian people to exercise their legitimate right to self-determination. Now watch this. And establish long their own state. We want a terrorist state within the borders of Israel. We're not having enough progress, you know, in that area.
Yeah.
And that's why this invasion occurred. Now, what they're dealing with here, and you can see from our map, is an area that is called the West Bank, which is a politically loaded term.
Indeed.
Because the expression West Bank is not found in the Bible. The biblical understanding or nomenclature for that area entitled the West Bank is Judea and Samaria. And West Bank, by the way, it's not even west of Israel. It's east of Israel. So when you use the expression West Bank, you're using the Jordanian point of view. So words, you know, mean things.
They do.
But that's the whole name of the game. That's what they want. They want that territory to be turned over to the Palestinians. Now that two-state solution, as it's being called, this is what the Biden administration and everybody else is pushing, hasn't worked very well. Because as you look at this next map, you see that brown area in the southwestern portion of the nation called Gaza. And that's where all of these attacks since 2005 have come from. That's where the attack came from over the last 2 weeks. There's your two-state solution.
That's right.
And so if turning over little Gaza results in this mayhem, what in the world do you think is going to happen to Israel when you turn over the so-called West Bank or Samaria and Judea to the nation of Israel? So what they have done is they have tried to contend that the West Bank and Judea and Samaria needs to be a Palestinian state. That's the nomenclature.
Right.
Where does this word Palestine even come from? Everybody's throwing it around, but no one ever explains to you where it came from. Well, it came from Emperor Hadrian, who came to power in the land of Israel about AD 117 in the second century, after the Jews had been pushed out of the land in AD 70. And he wanted to pretend as if there never was a Jewish presence in the land of Israel, so he renamed it Palestine.
Right.
And Palestine, most agree, is a derivative from Philistine.
Exactly.
And the Philistines, actually, when you look at the Old Testament, you know, occupied that general area that we call Gaza.
That's true.
And so when he named it Palestine after the Philistines, he was essentially naming the land after one of their ancient enemies.
Intentionally.
And so when we use this expression, Palestine, we have to understand that we're using an anti-Semitic slur without even realizing it. And it's sort of disheartening, Brother Jim, to even look at modern-day study Bibles and see in the notes and the maps and so forth that part of the world called Palestine.
I mean,
it's not an expression a Christian should ever use. What is the proper name for that land? We find it in Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. And what does that say there?
Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead."
Yeah, so Eretz in Hebrew, I think in Greek it's like gi, something like that. It's basically called the land of Israel. The Bible never uses this expression Palestine.
Right.
So where did this term Palestine come from? It comes from Hadrian. Now, one of the things to understand about the propaganda that we're analyzing here is Yasser Arafat, who prior to his death was the leader of the Palestinians, was summarily defeated. His movement was defeated in 1948, Israel's War of Independence. 1967, the so-called Six-Day War, and then 1973, the Yom Kippur War, And beyond that, world sympathy rested with Israel because of the Holocaust. The world felt sorry for Israel. They felt they needed a place of their own, their ancient homeland, because the world recognized the Jews aren't safe anywhere.
That's true.
Because of what the notorious Adolf Hitler did. So this is Arafat's dilemma, is we can't beat them militarily. The world feels sorry for them. And this is where many people believe that Arafat, at that point, went to what is, it was then called the Soviet Union, and he got some wonderful, I put in quotes, of course, effective, maybe that's a better word to use, effective techniques
yes.
in the art of propaganda. And if the Soviets understand anything, they're experts in propaganda. And what he was taught is you've got to shift world opinion, and you're not going to win this thing militarily. What you have to do is you have to convince the world that feels sorry for Israel that Israel is the bad guy.
Yeah.
And so I have a name that I use for this. You have to transform David into Goliath. And you have to make it sound as if Israel stole that land in 1948 and in 1967 and that they are there illegitimately.
Right.
And if you keep saying it over and over and over again, eventually what will be forced on the Jewish people is they will give you your Palestinian state, which we all know is going to be a terrorist state within the nation of Israel.
Right.
And you can then use that terrorist state to complete your final goal of eradicating the Jewish presence from the land. In other words, as some have said, the two-state solution is in actuality the final solution.
Yes.
And this is the intense international propaganda that the world is under. Israel stole the land. Now, historically, it's not true because of something Mark Twain said in 1869. Mark Twain visited that part of the world in 1867. He wrote about it 2 years later in his book, Innocents Abroad, in 1869. And what does Mark Twain say here?
All right, quoting him, he says, "A desolate country whose soil is rich enough, but is given over wholly to weeds, a silent, mournful expanse. A desolation is here that not even imagination can grace with the pomp of life and action. We never saw a human being on the whole route. There was barely a tree or shrub anywhere. Even the olive tree and the cactus, those fast friends of a worthless soil, had almost deserted the country."
So was there some kind of thriving civilization there in 1867?
Absolutely
some
not.
Some indigenous population that Israel stole the land from? I mean, not according to what Mark Twain saw. There's nothing here. In fact, at one point he ran into a goat, and he said it must be a goat that eats rocks to survive because there's no shrubbery here.
Wow.
There's no greenery here. And this is just an inconvenient truth that's sort of in the way of the narrative war that the world is now under, and that people don't want you to see quotes like this. Because
right.
the whole name of the game is international propaganda to shift the narrative.
Yep.
This is a battle of competing narratives
exactly.
that we're trying to explain here. Now here's a very interesting quote from Richard Booker in his book Christians, Jews, and Israel. And he says this about the so-called Palestinians on page 81. What does he say here?
All right, quoting again. "Please tell me, when in history was there ever a distinct people called Palestinians? Who were they? And when did they rule? What and who did they rule over? What was the name of their country? And what was the capital of their country? What were the boundaries of their country? Who were their presidents and prime ministers? What language did they speak? What literature did they leave behind? What was their currency? What historical records do we have of a Palestinian civilization? Where is the archaeological evidence of their existence, or any other information do we have about an historical Palestinian people? The truth is, There have never been a distinct people called Palestinians. There has never been a sovereign land called Palestine. Jerusalem has never in history been the capital of any Arab or Palestinian state. There is no Palestinian language or culture because there is no Palestinian people. It is a myth created after the Jews liberated Jerusalem in 1969.
Yeah, actually 1967.
I'm sorry, 1967.
But what Booker is saying is this whole Palestinian state is made up. Now, we just visited on our trip Egypt. And when you go to Egypt, they can point to the existence of a civilization there. They can show you all the archaeology. We went to the pyramids. They can tell you which dynasty ruled and when. They can point to archaeological evidence. The Palestinians can't point to anything. I mean, where's the language? Where's the archaeology? Where's the currency? Can you give me a list of your leadership? And so it's one of what we would call the great myths of the Middle East. It's pure propaganda. It was taught to Arafat from the Soviets. You got to convince the world that Israel stole that land from an indigenous civilization. And that's how you switch the narrative on your side. So the whole thing is, it's utter and total and sheer propaganda. In fact, Yasser Arafat, the then leader of the Palestinian movement, himself was not Palestinian. He was born in Egypt. If you call him anything, he's no longer with us, but he's gone on to his just reward, I guess. But you call him an Egyptian. Now, Rashida Tlaib, who we referenced earlier, has a big flag in her office and a big flag on her door about the Palestinians and this whole insurrection that she's leading now in our nation's capital. It's all trying to rally people around the cause of the Palestinians, and yet the Palestinians don't even exist.
Never did.
Never did. And how many people do you think know this?
Rather,
do they just absorb the content of whatever the media tells them to believe?
Yeah.
And most people have never even heard this information that we're presenting here.
That's true.
And so we're trying to help people sort of, you know, see through the propaganda. Let's go back to our Palestinian Ministry of Foreign Affairs statement. They say this: security and stability in our region can be obtained by ending the Israeli occupation of the land of the state of Palestine with East Jerusalem as its capital on the 1967 lines and recognizing the people's right to independence and sovereignty. And so what they're arguing for is Israel has to go back to the pre-1967 borders.
Right.
Remember in 1967 with the Six-Day War, that's when Israel gained control over Judea and Samaria, called the West Bank. The nation gained control over the old city of Jerusalem. They actually gained control over the Temple Mount. But foolishly, you know, in my estimation, gave jurisdiction of that away.
Yeah.
Kind of like what they did in Gaza. And so what this propaganda piece is speaking of is if Israel would just go back to the pre-1967 borders, everything would be happy.
Yeah.
Well, that's propaganda.
Yes.
The reason it's propaganda is the Palestinian Liberation Organization, called the PLO, was founded in 1964. What were they trying to liberate in 1964? A much narrower Israel. So, obviously, they're not happy if Israel goes back to the pre-1967 borders because their very movement was started 3 years before they ever got those extended territories.
Exactly.
So that's just another way to see through this propaganda. This statement goes on, and I'm hoping at some point we can put it up there. It says this, that is in addition to the absence of a solution to the Palestinian cause after 75 years of suffering and displacement. The continuation of the policy of double standards and the silence of the international community regarding the criminal. That's a very important word to understand.
Yes.
The criminal and racist practices of the Israeli occupation forces against the Palestinian people, and the continuation of the justice and oppression to which the Palestinian people are exposed. And there's a lot of language here. It goes on and it says, in the absence of peace and security in the region. So notice, Brother Jim, the repetition of criminal.
Yes.
Occupation. And you hear that language enough, and you think that somehow Israel is doing something illegal.
Right.
Well, I'm here to tell folks that Israel is not doing anything illegal. In fact, here is a slide that gives people two really good sources on this. One of them is a book called From Time Immemorial by Joan Peters. The subtitle is The Origins of the Arab-Jewish Conflict Over Palestine. Joan Peters, who passed away a few years ago, was basically a liberal, a bleeding heart liberal. And she traveled to that part of the world to prove the Palestinian claims. And Jewish claims to the land, in her mind, were illegitimate. And the more she actually got into the subject, she saw that there were no Palestinian claims to the land. This claim that the Palestinians had been there from time immemorial, you know, before the Jews stole that land, all of those claims are illegitimate.
Right.
So that book there is very effective in dispelling this Palestinian propaganda. And if you look at this slide very carefully, there's another gentleman that's mentioned. His name is Jacques Gauthier.
Yep.
Say that, you know, five times fast. He is basically a Canadian international lawyer who completed a PhD degree at the University of Geneva. And to get your PhD, you have to write a dissertation. And if anybody's gone through the dissertation process, they understand that your readers are extremely important. If you have hostile readers, your job in communicating or coming up with a dissertation and conveying it and communicating it is very, very difficult. And he had hostile readers. So he had to, as we say, dot every I and cross every T. And he worked on this for 20 years.
Wow.
And what he has produced in his dissertation is a piece of academia that, to my mind, is unassailable. Because he was pushed through this process, he produced something demonstrating that the Jewish presence in the land is not illegal.
Right.
Everything that the nation of Israel is doing, going back to United Nations partitions in 1947, going back to the San Remo Accords post-World War I, League of Nations and all of that, everything the nation of Israel is doing, all of the land that they're on now, is theirs legally. And his conclusion is you can say whatever you want about the nation of Israel, but here's one thing you can't say, that Israel is somehow some kind of illegal criminal occupier. And yet that's what's come out in this statement from the Palestinian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And one other quick thing that they say, and I'll bring this to people's attention. It says, that is, in addition to the absence of a solution to the Palestinian cause after 70 years of suffering and displacement, the continuation of the policy of double standards and the silence of the international community regarding criminal, now watch this, and racist practices of the Israeli occupation forces against the Palestinian people and the continuation of injustice and oppression to which the Palestinian people are exposed is the reason behind this explosive situation and the absence of peace and security in the region. In other words, we did what we did in this attack 2 weeks ago because Israel is a racist apartheid power. This is the narrative war changing David into Goliath.
Yeah.
Stop feeling sorry for Israel because of the Holocaust. Israel is actually the oppressor, is what that piece from the Palestinian Ministry of Foreign Affairs is arguing. And I'm here to tell you that that also is propaganda.
Yeah.
It's propaganda because you have non-Jews in the Israeli Knesset.
That's exactly right.
Doesn't sound like an apartheid state to me.
Yeah.
And the Arab population within the borders of Israel since 1948 and 1967 and 1973 has not decreased.
Right.
It's increased. So it's kind of hard to argue that Israel is some kind of genocidal, racist power.
Right.
But as the saying goes, if you repeat a lie long enough, people will believe it. This is what Arafat learned to do from the Soviets. You have to shift the narrative.
Yeah.
And you have to convince the world that Israel is the bad guy. Now, here is, you can see from this map here, something they'll never show you on the news. Unfortunately, we're having, looks like, some color issues with our maps, but we can still sort of make it out. That darker area is essentially Islamic theocracies that are threatening to drive Israel into the Mediterranean Sea.
Yes.
That little tiny red dot is the nation of Israel.
Right.
And so obviously when you look at a map like that, you cannot argue that Israel is the bad guy.
No, sir.
Israel is some kind of oppressive power. And yet the majority of people think Israel is an oppressive power because this Palestinian state lie is repeated over and over again.
And they're
never shown maps like this. In fact, I put this chart together from a website called MiddleEasternFacts.com. And it compares Israel's neighbors to Israel. And you have to look at something like this to defuse the propaganda. Israel's neighbors are 21, and Israel is just one. So it's 21 to 1.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like Israel is oppressive to me. Israel's neighbors are 640 times Israel's size. Israel, by contrast, is about the size of New Jersey.
Yeah.
1/19 the size of California. The population of Israel's neighbors is 250 million, and there are probably about 1.4 billion, with a B, Muslims worldwide. Compare that to the Jews in the land of Israel, a meager 7 million.
Wow.
The type of governments that Israel's neighbors embrace are dictatorships, Islamic theocracies. Israel, by contrast, is the only vestige of a democratic, republican form of government in that part of the world.
Yes.
In terms of wealth, Israel's neighbors control most of the world's oil supply. Tiny Israel is sitting on some potential oil discoveries. As far as peaceful coexistence is concerned, Israel's neighbors have no desire to coexist with her. The only exceptions would be Egypt and Jordan, which entered into those treaties with Israel. But every single one of Israel's neighbors, they chant death to Israel constantly. Yeah. It's in their charters and so forth. And by contrast, Israel desires to live in peace with her neighbors. She says that over and over again.
Yes.
Israel's neighbors are governed by a holy book called the Quran, which commands worldwide submission. Israel is governed by a holy book called Torah, which promises her a small allotment of land on the coast of the Mediterranean. And so when you just look at this comparison, you know, you could see very fast that Israel is not oppressing anybody. Absolutely. Would you add anything to this?
It's just, well, again, if you think about that map you had up a minute ago, Israel, in terms of its size and its population and everything, is insignificant in comparison.
Yeah.
And it just explains very clearly that there's a satanic motive behind all of this, because why would there be any other reason that these nations that many countries that are Islamic, why would they feel the need to drive Israel off the land? But it comes back to what you said before, mm-hmm. is at one time, you know, the Muslims at least in some way had some presence there, mm-hmm. and so they're saying that that's sufficient. That means that they own it all.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, God is going to show them different.
Mm-hmm. And so the reason we're taking our time on this, and I realize that our pastor's point of view is going a little longer than our allotment, is we need to take our time with this and analyze it correctly, because if you don't understand this, you're just subjected to international propaganda.
Absolutely.
And you'll be swept into the fever pitch of anti-Semitism in the last days.